Why, hello, and welcome back to Even More News, the first and honestly only news podcast. My name's Katie Stoll.
I got a name too, and it's Cody Johnston.
Hi, Cody Johnston. And joining us again today, fan favorite, our colleague.
I'm Dave. I also have a name, coincidentally. Hi, I'm David Bell. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, David Bell. Ugh, thanks for agreeing to come on.
Of course.
And before we get started, I would be remiss if I didn't stop and wish everybody a very happy Adopt a Shelter Pet Day.
Aw.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one for these trying times.
Yeah.
A lot of people are adopting shelter pets. I think adoptions have gone through the roof. That's one small but significant perk, I guess we could say, of everything that's happening.
Yeah.
Lots of animals being adopted.
Provided they keep them.
Yeah. Please don't return them.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's also Hairstylist Appreciation Day. It's actually a lot of holidays, but I chose these two because they seemed most appropriate. Hairstylist Appreciation. Let's take a moment and honor the hairstylists, which I think we're all missing lately. Maybe not you guys, but I sure am. I miss my hairstylist a whole lot.
I don't have a hairstylist.
How do you cut your hair? Yeah.
All right. When I had a mohawk, that was nice and easy, and I'm thinking of doing it again or just shaving it all off.
Oh my God, please do it again.
I know.
You got to at least try it out before transitioning to shaving it all off.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. It's just hard. It's hard to, easier to have someone else do the mohawk because you kind of got to center it. And if you don't center it, then it just looks dumb.
Yeah. I'm more concerned about my dog's growing hair. That needs to be taken
her
care of.
Her hair is wild.
Getting real long and wild. Gonna have to take
care
of that.
Wait, you're
soon.
More concerned about that than my bangs? How dare you?
Than my bangs.
Your bangs are on point.
Thank you.
That's also evident
in the thumbnail to this podcast.
You've been cutting your own hair for years.
I don't get haircuts that often because of the the appearance that I am trying to have for the show. So like, it's been like a long couple of years. It's like, I just shouldn't get a haircut because then I'll look too nice.
What's your haircutting technique when you have to shorten it though?
If I do have to shorten it,
hack at will,
I'll trim around it, or like I'll go in basically and I'll sit down and be like, hi, I do this thing where it's like kind of got to look scraggly, but also like I want to be able to look like a human out in the world, right, if I want to. And they like split the difference a little bit.
Speaking of whatever we were just talking about, thank you to Feels for supporting Even More News. Feels does its best to make me feel my best, and maybe it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. Before we get started, let's do some updates. We have a new Some More News video out this week. You guys want to talk about it real quick?
Sure. Yeah, Dave wrote it.
Thanks, Dave.
Some jokes in there. I peppered in some things about Joseph Biden and some other stuff. And which we'll get to, I'm sure, later on. It's about the episode's mostly about like non-coronavirus stuff, while constantly being reminded that you can't avoid it. It's always there.
Yeah. Also, this week on Worst Year Ever, we have two new episodes. One is with Jenny Ma from the Center for Reproductive Rights, which I'm personally pretty pleased with.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Did that come out today?
That came out yesterday.
I listened to it today. It was very good.
Thank you. I'll take a minute to say that I'm proud of that. This is the first time, you know, we split the work with three people. This is the first time that I had an idea for an episode that everybody else was working on other stuff and then kind of like tracked down somebody, one connection who then connected me with somebody else. And then we went back and forth. And it was also my first interview that I mostly did by myself. And so I think it's important to celebrate accomplishments during this time, and I'm pleased with how it turned out. And you guys should check it out because there's a lot of stuff that's happening right now in mostly conservative states to take away people's right to have access to abortions. So I think that was really important. And we also had an election update episode. I bring this up because I'm going to mention a little bit about what we talked about right now. And that would be Joe Biden. If you guys happen to have logged on to Twitter today, you'd see that Fire Chris Hayes has been trending all day long. And that's because he did a segment on Tara Reid, the woman who has come forward with a very credible sexual assault claim against Joe Biden from the mid 90s. I don't know. I just got really bummed seeing that trending on Twitter all day because he did a piece covering it. You know, it wasn't even that inflammatory. But it's just wild to see the moderate Twitter rise up and react like that.
Oh,
today.
They've been doing that for weeks and weeks and weeks. But yes, this was like one of the more like apparent like they had a hashtag. It was a whole thing. But it's very similar to it's the defending, just like the very concept of talking about this. They're incapable of criticizing the Democrats because they think that any criticism of them means that Trump will win, which I'm going to say isn't a good sign about your party.
And, you know, we've touched on some of this stuff in the past, and like I understand that a lot of people are afraid and they don't want to risk losing to Donald Trump. I get that. I'm afraid of that too. That doesn't mean that we can't talk about the problems with our candidate. That doesn't mean that we can't call something out, especially this. And I was saying this earlier today. It's tough. It's really tough. In 2016, I vowed that I would never vote for a candidate who was an abuser. Outside of everything else about Trump, it sickened me that people would be so quick to dismiss that. And I'm not saying that we don't need to keep talking about this and you just dismiss him out of hand. I'm saying that it's worth it paying attention to, and it's worth giving it credence because, you know, we're not the other side. We're not people. I don't want us to be anyway. I don't want to be people that just, you know, equivocate. And when it's convenient to us, we take a moral stance. I saw one tweet today that I'm going to quote from Rob Rousseau, and I don't know Rob. I don't know if I agree with other things that he said,
Rob,
but I agree
Rob
with
funny.
This. He said, kind of fucked up to see liberals on here openly admitting that they expect the media to act as an unquestioning mouthpiece and propaganda arm of the Democratic Party. And that's it. That's exactly it. It's just frustrating.
Well, and like that, that sentiment, I mean, it's been true. It's true. That's the assumption. And a lot of what's going on now is just more of the saying the quiet part loud, where like, yeah, this was like how you operated and how you viewed the media. And now you're just saying it outright. I don't know.
It's just, if we are expected to vote for Biden, we have to deal with this productively. And it sucks. I resent
also,
it.
Also, we don't have to have Joe Biden be the candidate. And like, I just want to point out that if there was a different candidate who had the second most delegates than Joe Biden, this wouldn't even be an issue for people. We would be jumping on the idea of like, oh, well, then let's just have Kamala be the nominee. I don't think it would be an issue at all for people.
I don't know if that's true. I hear you. I don't know that it's not true. It's just a lot of what ifs. I'm not going to be up here advocating to not vote for Joe Biden because I don't want Donald Trump to be president.
Yeah, he's bad.
But I understand in a very deep and personal way the qualms that people have.
People have every right to be angry about this because I think for a lot of people, there's no question that, of course, you don't vote for Trump. Like, of course, he's terrible. And he's so terrible that the Democrats can dangle any mediocre piece of shit in front of us and say, hey, it's better than Trump, right? And to put people in that position where they have to choose between two people who have been accused of assault. That's fucking,
it's a hostage situation.
That's awful. That's such a terrible thing to do, to make people like, I think there was this, it felt like there's this push, like the push against Bernie that I think a lot of people were framing it as, let's get the country back to normal and then we can talk about this stuff.
Right.
And there was this feeling of like, we got to rush. We just got to get someone. We just got to get Biden. And I do think if there was like another moderate candidate, maybe people would lean towards them, because they just wanted the most, what they viewed as the most stress-free candidate. We wanted to rush it through. And now there's this push of like, no, don't think about that. We just got to do this.
Right. I thought we all agreed to rush it. Yeah.
And it's like, but yeah, you don't understand. A lot of people, there were a lot of people who are only going for Bernie, not because they're a Democrat, but because they just liked Bernie. So you've lost those people. And then making people make this choice is going to make people do a lot of, it's going to make a lot of people not vote.
Especially with the coupled with the attitude of like, you got to do it. You got to.
And right, coupled with the fact that there's coronavirus.
Right.
What's going to motivate people to actually go out of their way to vote? And I just want to take a minute. There's so much to get through today. And we did do a full episode on this for Worst Year Ever that I recommend you guys checking out. But I tweeted this week that I believe Tara Reid. And
I bet the reactions
were great. And also that this is a shitty situation. At the same time, I mean, I hate that I'm in this situation. I hate that any VP, female VP that he picks is going to have to like rationalize this in some way. I hate that I'm in this position because I also hate Donald Trump more than all of, maybe not more than all of that, but Donald Trump is a very real threat to everybody's actual existence. And it's an impossible situation. And a lot of people said that that's irresponsible because it's probably not true. And, you know, like, how can you believe her? Well, I do believe her. And people, there's multiple people, you know, backing up her account from the time, you know, there's lots of different evidence. But also we've seen this coming for the last year. For years, we've known Joe Biden has a problem with women. He invades their personal space. He touches them inappropriately. At the very best, he infantilizes them on some level, you know? And it is not out of the realm of possibility that this is something that he did. Do I think he's a serial abuser based on this? No. I think that he probably has a really misguided idea of himself in relation to women. And that judgment flaw is very alarming to me. There's a world, the way they've described this, that he thought Tara liked him. Well,
so
that's a perfect example. You know, also, that's not an excuse.
Right.
But like,
right,
even if you are using that as an excuse, it's not, it's a perfect example of his lack of reasoning and a lack of awareness. Anyway, those are my thoughts on it. And you don't have to agree with me. I understand that we all come at this from a different perspective, but I don't think that we can just dismiss it out of hand.
No,
and feel good about it.
Whether or not it's true, that's your opinion on based off of the facts and so on. The way the media is handling it and the way Democratic leaders are handling it really just destroys their credibility on this issue. And I think a lot of issues. We went through a whole thing just a couple of years ago about how, Bill Clinton is a rapist. And Juanita Broderick and Monica Lewinsky were treated really, really unfairly by the party and by the media. Hope that never happens again. And yet here we are. Very clear example that, and we've talked about this before on the show and things, where like, the things a lot of people have been saying about Donald Trump and about politics and about what we want and what we're doing, what we're fighting for, it was bullshit, a lot of it. Not everybody and not all of it, but like, it was bullshit to a certain degree.
Well, I think for a lot of people, the fear outweighs all of this. And I think a lot of people are grappling with this, and they weren't bullshitting, but a lot of people were.
I mean, a lot of people were. And, right. Like, I'm not saying everybody is, but like, a lot of people were. It is just party affiliation. If Donald Trump had a D by his name, everyone would be like, a lot of people would be on board with him. Or if like Joe Biden were slightly more rude, as opposed to just like calling voters fat, challenging him to push up contests. Anyway, on this topic, I did want to just close with one quick thing that I'm seeing a lot of And people have obviously compared, like, a lot of the talking points about this to the Blasey Ford case and Kavanaugh and that. There's a piece going around quite a bit by Michael J. Stern. It's called Why I'm Skeptical About Reid's Sexual Assault Claim Against Biden. Ex-prosecutor, which doesn't really, I don't know what, so. But a lot of it is just sort of the excuses you see about cases like this. But that same guy, to the date today, on April 30th, a year ago, wrote an article for The Hill called Living Among Other People Means Accepting Some Unwanted Touching and Joe Biden.
Oof.
And it's about the thing everyone was mad about a year ago, about how he shouldn't be touching people like that. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry that that happened. But, you know, the rules have changed and I'll change along. No, the rules haven't changed, Joe. It was gross then. It's gross now. And he like talks in the article. He talks about like, oh, I'm sorry. He like inhaled her unwashed head or something like that. It's the whole thing is really gross. And it's bizarre that like it's literally published to the day a year ago. And it's just excusing that behavior. So I don't know.
It's demoralizing. Yeah.
There's this, I've been noticing a little bit of a trend of people saying now, like, well, like I saw someone today tweet, like, Biden doesn't need to release any files or information on this. Trump doesn't release his tax returns. Why should he have to play by the rules? And it's like, but that isn't that what we're
fighting
for?
Do we want to be
for?
Them?
Yeah.
Like, it's like I get it. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to see the other side completely disregard and ignore and not be affected by the clear evolution of social standards that, you know, that's happening. It is frustrating. But that doesn't mean that we get to play that game, too. You know, people are upset about Al Franken resigning. Yeah, I miss him, too. I still think it was the right thing, you know, like.
Yeah, because that's
morally.
That's the return we need. The return to a time where those things mattered more.
Comparing, looking for records to see if a sexual assault claim is valid to his tax returns is kind of grotesque. I've seen comparisons like that a lot, and like being like, oh, they just want to see his records. Like they're going to do a Hillary email thing to him. No. They want to find this thing out. It's not like they're hacking into his information, releasing emails from 2 years ago. It's like a very specific thing. And I've even seen people like, oh, so like you think we should believe Tara Reid about the sexual assault thing, but you didn't believe Elizabeth Warren when she said Bernie said that a woman couldn't be president. That's not the same thing. That's not a sexual assault. What are you talking about? It's so frustrating. And I will stop. I'm sorry, but my God.
Okay. No, don't.
Can I?
You do not need to apologize. Yes, Dave, you may go.
No,
now.
I was just going
to
stretch it out longer.
Oh, well, in which case, no, you may not, okay. Because there's so much to talk about. Let's talk about states reopening, unfortunately. As of today, the United States has over 1 million confirmed cases of coronavirus and over 60,000 deaths. 60,000 being, of course, what the president has previously said was the goal for us to keep it around. but we passed it and we were nowhere near slowing down. And despite these galling numbers, some states have started the process of reopening businesses. This, I believe, is from NBC. Nearly a dozen states have started participating in the high-stakes experiment of reopening certain businesses amid the coronavirus pandemic. As of Monday, the following states had lifted restrictions and allowed some non-essential businesses to reopen. Alaska, Colorado, Georgia, Minnesota, Mississippi, Montana, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Vermont. When their governors announced the orders, only Alaska, Montana, and Vermont had seen a decrease in coronavirus cases over 14 days, which is a benchmark for reopening under the White House guidelines. New infections appear to be on the rise in Minnesota and Mississippi. In the rest of the states, the number of new cases remained flat over 14 days.
Whew.
So that's...
I bet Alaska is probably... I can see Alaska reopening. I feel like when people were like, everybody stay at home, people in Alaska were like, uh-huh, yeah. I mean, that's what we do. It's Alaska.
I know.
You got it. Yeah.
In many ways, I keep thinking about this. In many ways, I'm like, oh, thank God we live in this age where we have technology and ways to connect. However, I would posit that back in the and past pandemics, the adjustment to quarantining and social distancing was not as drastic for people. You know, they already had self-sufficiency living on farms and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a generalization. And I don't know because I wasn't alive then. but let's break some of this down.
Georgia.
Hey, sorry. Georgia hasn't even been closed for a month. They haven't hit their peak. And again, we mentioned that some of these states have had cases that have remained flat for 14 days, which is great. But that does not mean that you're ready to reopen. Like we mentioned, the official guidelines specifically state that the numbers can't just remain flat. They have to be decreasing for 14 right. days before this process should even be started. It's incredibly, incredibly frustrating. For comparison, I just want to talk about California's plan, which was announced. Right now, we're in stage one, phase one, the social distancing. But they've laid out four phases, you know, a gradual reopening. After we get through this phase, once we have numbers decreasing and once we have a expanded capacity for testing and for tracking the spread of the virus, the second would be businesses that can gather just in small groups, you know, spread out in offices, curbside pickup for retail services, things like that. The third stage would be reopening hair salon, personal care places, gyms, and all of that. And then the final stage would be larger scale gatherings. But all of this is with the caveat that significant changes would need to happen to adapt that are specific.
Right.
To the, you know, businesses in question.
Right. And making sure like there's right, like having cleaning supplies and masks and all the kind of things right. you want people yeah. to have if they open up well, again.
We're not even at the part where we know how many people have it.
Right.
Like that's what's so ridiculous is that we don't even have good testing yet.
Yes, exactly. But the businesses that are being opened this week are movie theaters, gyms, restaurants, hair salons, nail salons, you know, places that you should be avoiding like the plague because literally there is a plague.
Right.
In Georgia, they're even reopening tattoo parlors. It's mind blowing. Dave, you pointed this out for us that even in those places, some of the businesses will choose not to reopen. And the example you gave us were movie theaters. And this is from Deadline. Despite Texas Governor Greg Abbott permitting movie theaters to reopen on May 1st in his state, numbering 30 million, big movie chains like AMC and Cinemark, which is located in Plano, Texas, are still eyeing midsummer reopening, not only out of safety, but also due to the lack of new, fresh studio content.
Right.
Basically, they don't care.
Delayed.
Yeah, there's no movies. I mean, that's very valid. But yeah. I love that the reason they're not reopening isn't because they're dirty rooms full of strangers
oh, yeah,
that don't get cleaned adequately. No, no, it's because they're not going to be able to make money anyway. Right, there's nothing to put up.
It's kind of nice, I guess, that the studios delayed everything. The one that I'm nervous about is the new Christopher Nolan film Tenet. There's still every studio has been like, okay, we'll do that later, delayed indefinitely. Tenet has been like, nope, July. It's coming out July. And oh, the worst God. Part about that is even I know that I'm going to go see it. Like I'm going to wrap myself in plastic and have to go see it. Cause everybody will want like a dumb sci-fi movie at that point. We like everybody's going to want that summer blockbuster normalcy of going to see a Nolan film. So it's going to be really hard not to go out and see that. Now, that means if Tenet is coming out July, that means that's when the movie theaters will open no matter what. Because it doesn't make any sense for them. Like, movie theaters have already been struggling for so long, and this sort of stepped on their head. So, yes, they're going to open as soon as possible, but only if they're able to actually
make money.
There.
But also, like, and also with this, it's interesting because this specifically, like, he's the IMAX guy, and he's like Nolan is very particular about how people watch his movies too. So they're never going to get to a point where he's like, "All right, release it on Netflix," or like, okay, you know, it will be required to premiere in a theater.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see that now. We're going to see that that weird difference where there'll be theater movies and there'll be Netflix movies from here on.
Yeah.
But bringing it back to the state's reopening currently, because there's a lot more to get through here. It just is. It's disastrous. You know, I know that a lot of us are tired of social distancing. I know that it can feel like the problem is removed from us, especially if you don't know people who have had it. Weather is getting warmer. We're getting a little bit lax. But the reality is that the numbers are still rising and social distancing cannot be rushed without sending us back to square one. And even though past 1 million known cases, it's a very small portion of the population that's been exposed. We're not winning yet. You know, we will be doing some version of this until there is a vaccine. And then, like we mentioned earlier, when we do get to a place where it is safe to reopen, there isn't one set of guidelines that businesses should be following. Each establishment will need to adopt procedures based on their specific needs. There's this study in China that found one person infected 9 others at a restaurant before they'd even known that they'd had it. And they believe that the virus was spread via an air conditioner unit. So what that means is that places with air conditioner units, they need to have filtration systems put in. You know what I mean? Like, there's all sorts of stuff. And like, what does it mean for gyms? How do you effectively open a gym and safeguard for people? And we don't quite have those answers because we're still learning about the virus. We're still learning about whether or not antibodies actually mean that you're immune from getting it again. You know?
Yeah.
Right. We know nothing. Is the idea, there's no way of confirming this, is the idea that these people reopening the states know damn well what's going to happen? And they just think, okay, well, we'll open again and then we'll have to close again. But at least we get that quick hit to our economy.
I think that is something for some people. I think that some people believe the herd immunity. Some people are looking at Sweden, who they never shut down everything. But the Swedish population has largely adhered to social distancing practices. They've been responsible about it. And they still have like a very high number of cases. It's still a problem. We're still seeing how that plays out.
Also,
but, you know,
since when did we start listening to Sweden about things? Like, we don't about like their prison system, which I believe is way better than ours.
Yes, it is.
Why is this the thing we choose to listen to?
Very important point, Dave.
Yeah, there's just a Politico piece ran about how weird it is that conservative Americans are looking to Sweden, where like their whole entire culture is different and the way they view government is different. And like, it's antithetical to what conservative Americans believe, but they're like, look, it worked for them. It's bizarre.
All right, guys, we're going to take a very quick break and then we're going to come back and talk more about this really uplifting topic.
Hey, welcome back to the part that does the ads, where we ask questions like, hey, do you need something that's related to the product? For example, do you experience stress or have anxiety or trouble sleeping?
Can't imagine why. Everything's fine.
Absolutely. Normal stuff going on. But if you do, you're probably not alone. Sometimes to help, I use Feels, a premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. Thank goodness. Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness after you've disinfected the package and wiped down all your doorknobs and thrown away the package and the gloves you were wearing while you did that. But then, place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and feel the relaxing difference within minutes.
You know, it does help me take the edge off of gestures to the world. Maybe you need a few more than a few drops, or maybe you just need one. The right dose depends on you, but Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too.
Become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/morenews to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. feals.com/morenews.
And we're back. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I want to talk about who this reopening impacts the most. And the first answer would be Black people, other lower income communities. We've already discussed on a previous episode how African Americans are being disproportionately hit by the virus. And this is from the Daily Beast. of 305 hospitalized adults with the virus, primarily in metropolitan Atlanta, who were analyzed, a whopping 83% of patients were Black, according to the new findings from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, released Wednesday in the agency's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. As ProPublica reported earlier this month, several factors, environmental, economic, and political, have put Black people at higher risk of chronic conditions like asthma, heart disease, hypertension, and diabetes that weaken the lungs and make immune systems vulnerable to COVID-19. When the pandemic first began to spread across the country, early data from multiple communities show Black people had contracted and died from the virus at alarming rates. And that has continued. And just pointing out that this specific study that they're talking about is from Atlanta, a city in Georgia, a state that reopened this week.
This pandemic, it's like the Avengers Endgame of everything that's wrong with America. Like, the full cast is here.
It's true.
Everything is in play. We're seeing
every problem. And you don't know what storyline to follow. There's too much going on.
There's too much going on. That's
everything
for sure.
We've talked about. Yeah, all the threads. It's embarrassing and shameful.
Yeah.
Other people that will be impacted by this are workers. Workers in these states that are rushing to reopen are now facing an impossible choice. As impossible as choosing between Biden and Trump. Mm-hmm. It's either go back to work and risk their health and the health of their families, or quit their jobs. I don't know. There's been a lot of discussion and criticism about how people who are getting paid more on unemployment than what they make at their jobs might want to just keep being on unemployment and like, oh, they're just being lazy and they don't want to go back to work. And like, first of all, fucking fix that. They're not getting very much money on unemployment. Pay living wages.
Right. Yeah.
But OK, outside of that, it's ghoulish to force people to return to work under these conditions. And if they don't, they will lose their unemployment benefits.
Their health care.
No, is the idea that there's just people who don't want this to end? Like, I can see, like, the people on the street protesting, like, I get the idea that there's, like, liberal elites in their fancy houses who like it better this way because it hurts Trump or something like that. But, like, people want to work if they, you know, like, they
no
just
one
also,
likes this.
Yeah, they just don't, they will want money. They just don't want to die. And, like, yeah, if unemployment is paying more than their jobs, then yeah, there's just fundamentally something wrong with how we're doing employment in this country,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, how we view unemployment, how we view income, how we view healthcare, how we view jobs and work in general, and like what we need to like stay healthy. Like it's interesting because whenever you bring up like a UBI or any sort of like benefit to like living in the allegedly greatest nation on earth, anytime everyone's like, well, if people did that, then they just wouldn't do anything. They'd be lazy. Like any UBI experiment doesn't show that. But also just a week of people staying at home, you see like, oh, I fucking miss doing stuff.
Yeah.
I miss going out and like working and doing things. Like people want to do that. That's what human beings want to do. They're not just going to collect money and stay inside all day. It's so frustrating.
Also like, about people abusing things like that, because I've heard that argument about unemployment, about anything that helps out people in the lower class. Who gives a shit? Like, if some people abuse the system, who gives a shit? Because I believe that, like you're saying, most people want to work, most people are good. I'd rather live in a country where I have to pay a little more in taxes so that just we know everybody's okay. Maybe that means that some people are abusing that system, which, as you said, Cody, there isn't much evidence of. But like, who gives a shit? I'd rather be in a country like that.
It's a moral argument, and then like the data driven argument where it's like, both of these things are stupid.
But instead, we are okay bailing out big businesses. I want to talk briefly, or as long as it takes, honestly, about what other countries are doing. For example, Europe. Let's look at Europe. Some countries in Europe are starting the slow process of reopening. They also got hit with it a little bit before us, but in a very different way, a methodical way that complies with guidelines and a seeming cultural awareness that they will need to take steps back if the virus gets out of control again. This is from, again, from the Daily Beast. In Italy, factories and construction sites will spring back to life on May 4th, and restaurants will finally be able to offer takeout services, sending more than 4.5 million people who couldn't work from home back to their jobs. Side note, wow. I mean, we've still had takeout. Yeah. People can visit their family and significant others, but dinner parties among friends, even in private homes, are still not allowed. 2 weeks later, if there's no spike in new cases, retail shops will join the fold under very strict guidelines, including sanitizing clothing and shoes between customers. 2 weeks after that, only if new cases don't increase, restaurants can seat people outdoors, and then hairdressers and massage parlors can get back to work. And gyms, beaches, all of that are not even on the horizon. In France, everyone will be masked and gloved. Public transportation will be reconfigured to accommodate safe social distancing. Schools will only have no more than 15 pupils per classroom. Different parts of the country will be color-coded red or green based on the extent of contagion and the preparedness of the area, healthcare facilities, just in case infections take off again. But there's not going to be any free movement between different regions for a very long time. And again, the government is ready to tighten things up again if things get worse. And I say this because we don't have any of that organization in place, yeah, especially in these cities, these states that are already reopening. There is no... There's no self-reflection. There's no learning from the mistakes that we've already made. And it's
sounds like they thought about it.
It sounds like they thought about it. Yeah. It's just,
yeah. They took
and I don't know. I guess there's that the cultural belief here in America that our freedom, you know, our God-given freedoms, which I agree with, of course, but like this inability to just sacrifice for a while for the greater good.
It should,
the selfishness.
Yeah. It should be noted that our rollout does include protections, right? From what I was reading.
Yes,
or measures. I don't know how
absolutely
good they are.
Well, like with California and stuff, the ideas that they're having, and I'm sure some of these states have some amount of things in place that I don't know about that are state specific. Yeah,
but it's the wrong order.
It's the wrong order. Yeah. The fact that they're opening movie theaters and gyms and tattoo parlors is so backwards. And again, there's no higher up signifier of the gravity of the situation in those states. How are people supposed to respect the fact that this is a very severe crisis if the government isn't telling them that it is? One other thing I wanted to mention that I've heard floated that other places are going to potentially experiment with is when opening up, creating bubbles of people that you can interact with, but like no one else. That means your friend group, I guess, has like a vote and you decide who you like the most. Ooh. And then just kind of cold shoulder the people that don't make the cut. I don't know. That sounds very awkward. But I would That's certainly weird. Rather have a bubble than no bubble.
Is that an option? I get that.
Who's
with certain,
talking about that? What?
I get that with certain dynamics. Like if you have kids and like someone can watch your kids for you a little bit during the day, or like
right.
like if it's a large family, you start letting the family
you
sort
see
of
your
mingle.
Parents and your siblings, maybe.
Yeah, where those people have to communicate with those people and make sure they're
right.
also
there's a lot
isolating.
Of trust.
It's moving the quarantine, sort of mushing it together, but still keeping.
Yeah.
But it's a trust system.
It is a trust system. And I don't see how it works. I don't understand. But again, as we learn more about the virus, maybe there's possibility for that. I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about remdesivir. You guys heard about remdesivir? Yesterday, the drug remdesivir made headlines being touted as a potential treatment for coronavirus. Apparently, results of the trials leaked to the public, and Anthony Fauci kind of got ahead of it and announced the findings. And he even went so far as to say that there is proof the drug can block the virus. Basically, the trials suggest that use of this drug can speed recovery by around 4 days, which means if it's given early enough, it might prevent it from progressing to a life-threatening level. And that's exciting. And I don't want to I don't want to take that away from you, but I do.
Oh, no. Wait, what are you going to say?
I do want to dash just a little bit of cold water on it because, I don't know, guys, it's better that you hear it from me now when you're safe with friends, right?
Than, sure.
Like, it's later true. On yeah, when you're yeah. alone and high. First of all, this information, again, was only released because the trials were leaked and they wanted to get ahead of it. So it feels maybe this was a little rushed. And yes, our studies are promising, but there are some problems with it. For one thing, a study in China showed it actually having negative results on patients. But they are exploring the idea that it's because the drug was used on patients who are more advanced. But still, I think that's worthy reason to give a little bit of a pause. Also, this drug has its own set of side effects, one of them being respiratory failure. Oh. However, that was also inconclusive because, well, it was it's an imperfect study. It was from Gilead, the manufacturer. It also didn't have people on a placebo. And the scope of the study was to assess if people should be treated for 5 days versus 10 days. So, you know, there's just still a lot of information to be gathered about this. There is room for excitement about it, for cautious hope, maybe. But it's not by any means a surefire thing at this point. But it's something that will be rolled out and started to people. Doctors can start trying it. So that is good. I too want to take a moment to say that weeks ago I mentioned this drug on Worst Year Ever when we were discussing hydroxychloroquine. Because it's frustrating, even back then, for months, remdesivir has been the most promising drug. And yet somehow, not somehow, I know how.
Right, you know.
But, you know, our president and the right-wing media just
yeah, I'm sure the MyPillows guy called the president's like, hydrochloroquine is actually good.
It's not a cure, though, right?
No.
Until it just slows the... Yeah. What it does, it attacks a... it blocks an enzyme that the virus uses. So it's not like it goes after the virus. It just slows the virus down and decreases its effectiveness, I guess. So basically what they're doing now is taking this study, which still needs to be peer reviewed. Apparently I saw when Fauci was talking about it, but
yes, that too.
It opens up the door to other drugs that can also block those.
Right.
It's like, okay, it blocks this, and then that together helps. Yeah.
So as it stands, the only cure so far is drinking Tom Hanks's blood.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yes. Beautiful
but
results.
Not drinking
Hanks's
bleach.
Blood. No, not drinking bleach.
Man.
You sure?
Unfortunately, I'm sure. apparently, I mean, that whole bleach thing, we didn't even talk about it on here.
Hey now.
Such old news now.
Facts matter. He technically didn't say drink bleach.
No, he didn't.
He just pondered aloud whether or not you should inject disinfectant into your body.
That's right.
Get your facts straight.
Well, okay. Let's get our facts straight. Okay. He wasn't saying everyone should try to do that. He was saying scientists should do studies where they take disinfectant and inject it into people. Okay.
Unbelievable.
It's a reasonable suggestion.
And
with the correct context, let's call
when that happened,
the president's
it becomes
good.
This big joke and a lot of people are like, people don't actually believe. And he comes back and says, oh, I was joking.
Mm-hmm.
People believe that. It's hard to wrap your mind around, but you're seeing stories of people calling hotlines asking if they should have their kid drink it or if they should inject it.
People believe everything.
And I'm not trying to shame them.
When he's the president, like, that's the whole point. It's when the president just farts out burps from his nose every day.
I hate it when he farts out burps from his nose every day.
It's also
it's like, yeah,
gross.
You shouldn't just like muse about what the MyPillows guy told him about or whatever. Like,
whether that's the thing, whether or not people actually do it, it's just really disheartening to hear the president ponder that out loud. Something that most people know is a dumb idea. And
I believe
it's this realization of like, oh God, he's that dumb.
We were going to talk about PPP loans and whether or not Kim Jong-un is dead. But I think I'd rather read some listener responses to a prompt we put out today.
Yeah, we'll do that instead of talk about the, quote, unlikely alliance trying to rescue workplace health insurance, the thing that people love.
Mm-hmm.
This week, we put out a request for how people are breaking up the monotony of their lives now. One thing that my boyfriend and I have been doing is picking up trash on our walks. We got one of those trash grabbers and like a little dustpan and broom to just, you know, clean up stuff along the side of the road. And it feels good, but also people compliment us.
You can also get like some sweet Reddit points for that. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
take photos,
if you guys need a little serotonin boost, it feels good in many different ways.
Yeah, like a non-Twitter boost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, people agree with me in real life too.
When I used to drink, a fun game, probably less healthy, is you get really drunk and then you order stuff on Amazon. And then the next day, you don't remember. And then you get gifts. Random gifts.
See? That's also really fun.
Yeah.
I've been doing too much online shopping. Okay. This response comes from Aaron Monet. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. From Patreon, who says, I have taken up blacksmithing and got a whole propane powdered foundry set up. I have been melting down things like aluminum, copper, and brass, have made a few tools and knives. It's been weird, but fun. Also been playing Animal Crossing. A lot of Animal Crossing.
That's awesome.
I think that's so cool. Alyssa Beckley said, so I breed freshwater aquarium fish. I'm lucky enough to have a small patio in which I can grow plants. I've been learning how to sprout some veggies and fruits that you would buy at the store from seed that I would normally have thrown away, like bell peppers. So I water these vegetables with the wastewater from my fish. Plants grow very well with all of those nutrients. And I've been sharing excess plant starters with friends who want them. Ooh. I wish I could share excess water too. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That is cool.
She should get some snails. Get a couple snails and it'll totally work out and they won't completely invade your space.
Yeah.
Just add some snails in there.
Just get some snails. Just get some snails for help.
Mm-hmm.
That just briefly reminded me of, I believe it was Reductress. Recently it was like, woman in studio apartment jealously looks at woman on patio, jealously looking at woman in her yard. I just like the varying degrees of like, well, I can use this space that I have for this. Like, oh, that other person has this space that they can use for that.
You could build a fish maze or something. If you have a pet, I think a good advice is to build an obstacle course for that pet, right?
Mm-hmm. Set up challenges and experiments for it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. If you have the space.
This one's from Bex Richards on Twitter. My flat is in full lockdown right now due to one of us showing symptoms, but I've been prepping boxes of homemade things for when this is over. Christmas, homemade candles, coconut oil, beeswax essential oil, lip balm, lotion, candy. Candy is the easiest one. Homemade candy is hard candy is delicious, lasts ages, and pretty much only needs a big pan, sugar, and a thermometer. And things for flavor. Can also be adapted for cough drops if you add things like menthol and ginger and licorice. Bex, I am absolutely going to start experimenting with hard candy. Mm. That sounds amazing.
Oh, another booze suggestion. get some champagne yeast, some jugs, some juicy juice, brown sugar, and you can order special airlocks online, or you just take a deflated balloon, poke some holes in it, and you got yourself some apartment booze.
That is so funny. Have you been doing that?
No, I did it when I drank. I did it a lot.
Oh, right.
And it was really, we started making beer at one point, which that's a whole fucking process.
Yeah, yeah.
You need equipment for that. But like, you can just make, it's just like any juice. I think you need like real sugar in the juice. And then you add more brown sugar in it. You add champagne yeast. You let that shit sit for a couple weeks. You got some booze on your hands. Nice and easy.
This one's from Gay Agenda Illuminati, also on Twitter. I live in a 30-person co-op.
Oh,
first
no.
First off, Wow. I'm starting a new D&D campaign as DM. We are having Shakespeare table read nights and also near nightly thirst circles as we all get more and more lonely and horny. And I'm a cook, which is really fun and rewarding. Some people are starting sourdough. Sounds kind of fun. Sounds really hard.
A lot of cooking stuff.
A lot of cooking stuff. I mean, gosh, I love all of your responses. This is another one. Maybe we'll keep sharing. A lot of breads, a lot of cooking.
Someone mentioned mushrooms and crying.
Mushrooms and crying. I have a ton of mushrooms that I have resisted taking.
Oh, take them.
I'll give you some. When you're ready. I don't think I should give them to you yet.
Take them.
I'll be fine.
You can come take them in my backyard and stand 15 feet away from me, and we can have very separate trips. No, I've been resisting it, but maybe that's in my future. But I really like Shakespeare table read nights. That sounds cool.
That's a cool idea.
And then this one is from Quinn, not a soy boy, but a soy man. Yeah. I've begun to paint miniatures and I really enjoy it. It's nice and cathartic and a great time killer. And it makes me feel like an artist while ignoring the fact that I'm basically just doing a 3D coloring book. That also sounds fun. I love all of these strange hobbies we're picking up.
Yeah. And a lot of these, the miniature one in particular seem to be like, yeah, there's some creativity going on, but also in order to get rid of the monotony, having a sort of monotonous like task, like a very detailed thing where like you kind of like a meditative thing that requires focus, but can sort of let your mind wander a little bit, I guess. I don't know. It's nice.
Yeah,
I love these responses, you guys.
This is definitely an opportunity for a lot of people, myself included, to sort of recenter yourself, to get to know yourself, to figure out what makes you happy when it's not reliant on other people. What activities just make you happy that you can do with you.
Back to basics. You know, one thing that I've learned, I was saying this last night, it's hard. Yeah, we've been removed from all of these things that bring us comfort typically, or the things that we rely upon. My schedule has been totally upended. And at first that felt like I was floundering, and it still does sometimes. But I'm also realizing just how mired I was in my routine and my habits, and that this has just kind of been a huge, very dramatic reminder that we are adaptable and we are resilient. You know, that at first the things that seem impossible, they become bearable in a way. Yeah. And not that this is okay in any capacity, but I'm proud of myself and I'm proud of everybody I know and all of our listeners and everybody that are doing their fucking best. Because this is not easy, but we can do it and we are doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, really just do your best.
Yeah.
Your best, guys.
Also, you can Google like survivalist traps and trap your pets around the house, set traps. Or your roommates. Oh my god.
Yeah, practice traps on your pets for the next like, thing like this that happens that requires that kind of activity.
Yeah, not deadly traps, just like
No, traps.
The deadly ones are for later. You do cute traps now to develop the skill, and then you know.
You learn from that.
When the time comes. Exactly. Yeah. You can.
All right, Dave, tell our listeners where they can find you.
Geez. I'm on Twitter at MovieHooligan. I also co-run a podcast network with Tom Ryman. It's called Gamefully Unemployed. We have a Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Check that out. You can also write episodes for you.
You can find him here.
right.
With us. You probably are already a fan of Dave's, even if you don't know it.
Yeah.
Thanks again for joining us, Dave.
Of course.
And thanks to all of the listeners for listening to this part. And just so you know, we love you very much.